And I didn't tell you, I want to tell you what God told me, some things he told me, but one more thing about my trip back. In that snowstorm we were in, there was some little car, I don't know what it was. I saw it over here on the side. I thought it was two motorcycles for a while, it was so small, but he was weaving in and out and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, we're really living fast and crazy, aren't we? But God's been talking to me. And when I was thinking about waiting, I don't, by the way, how many of you get the devotional and read the devotional? Okay. They're back there. Listen, they're good. I think it was either Friday or Thursday, the one about waiting, Abraham and Sarah waiting. Remember that one? 25 years. And I'm getting ready to go to the hospital. And I thought, I keep praying, Lord, to get this over. And God's, wait. And then when I was down there and saw that mess I told you about, got a job for you to do. There was somebody told me who left here, and they said it for a different reason, but said to me when I first found out I had cancer and all that, said, Pastor John, I believe you're going to have a ministry greater than you've ever had. More people. I don't think they really knew what they were talking about, but God did. Amen. But God said to me, we got a lot of things going on. I don't know his voice. It's not an audible voice you hear, but it was closer. It was more personable than it's been. He said, we got a lot of things for Calvary Baptist to do, but you got to tell the people, they can't let it be about trivial stuff, like how important am I, or what do I get to do, or stuff like that. It's got to see the big picture, not a little insert. That was about that. Let's keep our eyes on what's up here. You know, like when you're driving in a snowstorm, you got to look ahead and kind of glance once behind and keep going. But we got to keep it on God. We got to keep it on getting souls saved, because I don't know how many of those people are going to live in that hospital. I mean, screaming, not that one man, they kept wheeling him in and out to do something with him. I don't know what. God said, this is hell. This is hell. These people are dying, not saved. That's the only place to go is hell. So we've got to keep our foot on the throttle, but we've got to keep our purpose in view. And we can't let the little issues distract us, and little irritants, and little problems. We can't let that bother us. And he said, cast all your care on me, for I care for you. He said, give it all to me. Give it all to me. There's one thing I hate about going to hospital. I don't hate the rest of it so much, but when they put the IV in, they cannot find my veins, and I've lost all that weight. And I try to tell them, and they don't listen to me. I told her, I said, what they do is they stick it in the vein, they keep going. Well, then nothing, no blood's going to come out. They got to stick it to the vein. There's not much meat there. They don't have to push very hard. I told them that's what they did. And this arm is bleeding. Then you're going to do the other arm. And God kept saying, be not afraid. I'm with you. And he kept saying, I love you, John. Wow. That's awesome. That is really awesome to know God's right there with you. No wonder men accomplish great things. The world can't touch you. Kill me? It's over then. If God wants me to stay. I wanted to tell you a couple more things. I'm sorry, but you need to hear these. I was thinking about that little hole. There was a friend of mine, actually he's a classmate, hooked up with me recently. He's teaching Sunday school, and I sent that to him. He said, text me back. He said he had a hole in his esophagus. They cut it off right above the hole, shortened it up, wrapped it, tied some stuff in his stomach. And that was a long time ago, and he's still living. I'm thinking, wow, what are you worried about? What are you upset about? Just let everybody do what they're supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. You know? And one thing about it, I know I feel better physically. So I think these people are doing a better job, whatever they're doing. Okay, let's get to the scripture here, the introduction. The Spirit. I was inspired by some things in the devotional. We don't talk enough about the Spirit, maybe the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, which is now here in believers and doing what he wants to. Jesus, in our little background scripture, I only pulled a portion of it out. He said, I'm going to go away, but don't be upset. I'm paraphrasing. He said, don't be upset because I'm going to send you another one. He's going to be a comfort to you. And it's the Holy Spirit. And he can't come if I don't go. So don't be upset. And the disciples are all confused. So he tells them, and I'm going to make those 3 points in a minute. 3 things the Holy Spirit will do for us when it's here. But first of all, the Holy Spirit just didn't happen on the day of Pentecost. You hear people say, we need another Pentecost. No, no. We don't need another Bethlehem. Jesus came once. We got the Holy Spirit here. As a matter of fact, it's not how much of the Holy Spirit that you and I have. It's how much of us does the Holy Spirit have. You get that? We're involved in those trivial things. How much time are we really interested in the things of God compared to the interest in the things of the world? The Spirit was here in creation. In Genesis 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. On down later he said, let us make man. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Now notice the Holy Spirit's part. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. May I say it like we say it down south? Ain't nothing going to happen, honey, until the Holy Spirit moves. You know, we tell people about salvation. We say, okay, listen, you can preach your head off, but if the Spirit is not moving in somebody's heart, ain't nothing going to happen. That's why when you feel that Spirit, the first time I ever felt the Spirit was 12 years old in that Pentecostal church back home. I was cracking a pew in front of me so hard I could hear the board crack at 12 years old. I tried to accept him. I don't know if I did or not. I tried to do what I did, but I kept feeling like I wasn't saved. When I was 24 years old, I realized the truth of the gospel and asked Jesus to save me. But you do it when God is calling. He said, my Spirit will not always strive with men. When the Spirit moves you to do something, like I have a little problem at home or something, and I'll say, well, God will say, I want to talk to you, John. Okay, let me, no, now, John. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, now, I don't care what you're doing. Driving down the road, pull over. You're working, you're baking something. Shut it off. Stop. Stop right there. Because the Holy Spirit is very sensitive. And you can drive it away. You can quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. Let the Spirit talk to you. Just letting God talk to you is a wonderful thing. And to know you've been with God and talked to God, you have a new walk, a new step, a new offense about you. You don't have to have a defense. You got an offense that keeps you going. In the beginning, it says that the earth was void and form. All this snow, my wife's been a big bird person. I never had much time for that. I had to be on the run. But recently, in the snowstorms, and my wife told me one day, get out there and put some feet in that feeder. I filled it up. Man, in 2 days, they took it out. I mean, a bucket about that high, sitting up on a pole. beautiful, most beautiful cardinals you ever saw in your life. Bright, shining red. And those, they look pretty nice, but they're mean. Those blue jays, they fight everybody. And they get up there in the bucket we feed them in, it's got a trough down. They get in there and kick it out on the ground. And then I watch the male take something back to wherever she is. Man, out getting the work done, takes it home to the wife. But it tells you a lot about God. The beauty of it all, watching it before the world ever had that, the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God took the coloring brushes of God and began to help paint everything, because it said everything that God made was good. And then he made man and woman, and it said it was very good. You can't top that. So why should we be, we build fancy buildings. We do lots of things. Fancy cars. Makes your heart throb. Things you see. Clothing. Houses to live in. But what God has made is so much more beautiful when you let you see it. So the Spirit was there. That's what I want you to see. The Spirit was there when God told Moses, and he's bringing them out. It's a busy job for Moses to bring the people all the way out of Egypt to the promised land. But God took them a long way around. You know why? So he could show them some things. God's taken you the long way around. God's taken me the long way around. Enjoy it. Let God drive. I used to remember these signs would say on cars and planes, God is my co-pilot. No, God's not your co-pilot. God's a pilot. You're the co-pilot. Got that? That's the trouble. Too many of us want to be the pilot. I remember when my grandkids, first ones, started getting old enough to come to my house, wasn't very old. Can I drive a tractor, Pap? No, you can't drive the tractor. You're not big enough. And I'd be doing something directly, have the keys hanging on the wall there. I'd look over and here'd be these legs climbing up on the chair. I got the keys, Pap. Can I drive? Wow. Wow. That's the way we are with God. God says, let me drive. I don't know why God don't. Hey, let God drive. We had some family we used to go visit in Detroit, and the wife decided everything that we were going to do and when we was going to do it. And I didn't always go, and the one first time I went, I said where we're going, and she said, I tell the kids to sit down and shut up, I'm driving, and when you get there you'll see where we're going. And we need to follow that. We're so anxious. We're so nervous. We probably, if the world ever gets back normal again, and we get back normal, get on 81 and start heading south. We got that sand in our shoes, man. We got to get to South Carolina, North Carolina. But I don't get out of Hagerstown until some guy passing me got a pipe on that little, whatever it is, Mitsubishi or whatever it is. Boom, boom, boom. And I say, it's vacation. I'm going to sit back and relax. I let him get in front of me, set my cruise again. Next thing I know, I see his bumper coming back up to me. I'm saying, well, now what's he doing? So I push it off and wait a while, put it back on. So next time, I say, boom. See you later, buddy. Wow. I'm on vacation. I'm all worked up. Amen. But Moses is going to build the tabernacle. And he knew what it was like. You know, sometimes we find anybody that'll do something and we ask them to do it. We're trying to put square pegs in round holes. We need to get the right person and let God call the right person. Look at that number two there in Exodus 31:3. And here's the man that God told Moses to get. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. I can't even paint, folks. When I paint, I get it all over me and nothing on the wall. So I'm not a painter. I can't drive a nail. Even the automatic things, I can't find the battery. And I finally get the screw in there, put it there. I had the thing on reverse. Ring, the screw went. I said, forget it. I'm not that kind of guy. God has guys that can just do things. He knows, they know what to do. But we're going to push somebody, and then they get frustrated, and they're mad, and they don't come to church no more. And there you got, you know, that God, the Spirit. Another man he got, 35:31, and he hath filled him with Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. So to get this big target, we need to let the right people do the right thing. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Him and Samson, the only one like that. In Luke 1:15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Wow. No wonder Jesus said, hey, look at John the Baptist. There was not a greater in all than John. And yet John doubted. You would too if you was in prison and told you to go cut your head off, wouldn't you? If they put you in prison and said they're going to cut you in your head off for some things you said in Sunday school this morning, and you'd say, well, God, did I do right? Did I really do right? Was that really the right thing to say or do? Jesus said, when the disciples came and asked Jesus, they said, John's in trouble, he's doubting. He's asking questions if you're really the one. He said, go back and tell him that the poor have the gospel preached to them. We need to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, poor financially, poor in every other way. The writers of the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit moves people. It moved the creation. It moves people's hearts. And if people's hearts ain't moving, you're just preaching to a wall. Oh, go ahead and preach. You need it. They need to hear it. But don't be running around telling people 20 people got saved. You don't know if they did or not. 20 people said they accepted Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we just think we got it all stuffed in the bag and tied and zipped up and thrown away. Sometimes it takes a lot. It takes a lot. A pounding on a hard heart by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows how to move. He was moving in that hospital room. I can tell you that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, the thous, the these, the ands, the buts, everything, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, that means teaching, for reproof. That means God tells you what's wrong with you. We don't like to be reproved. We don't like to be reproved. We don't like to be told we're wrong. None of us. But God will tell you what's wrong with you. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's wrong with you. The Bible will tell you what's wrong with you. That devotion will tell you what's wrong with you. You don't have to like it, but you better love it and better learn to obey it. For correction, he not only tells you what's wrong, he tells you how to make it right. God knows how to teach. And then, once he's got you right, for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness means doing the work of God. Okay, let's get to the 3 points. Somebody set that clock back about 15 minutes. It's too fast. The first thing Jesus said it does was found in verse 9, reproves the world of sin. And he said the sin is because they believe not on me. We'll be talking about that grace again tonight. That's in Galatians. That's where we are. But listen to me. Until you really believe in God, doesn't matter what else happens. That's the biggest sin. The only sin that'll keep you out of heaven is not believing. He said, that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. It tells people you're not saved. You do all the other sins that you do because of the sin you don't believe. You don't believe. You don't believe God. And you have to believe it all from cover to cover. You have to believe everything that's in there. Do I understand it? No. I don't understand how we got through all that snowy traffic and you could see the ice on the side. And when we went into the tunnel at Somerset, there's a chunk of ice over here. And my son said, guess what? I said, yeah, that's going to keep leaking out. And if they don't have something on that, somebody's going to hit that and go into the wall or something. The Bible's like that. God knows your next big problem or little problem. And God knows how to take care of it. Of sin because they believe not on me. Oh, it don't matter what you believe, just believe. You hear people say that all the time. Oh, if people just go to their place of worship, you'd be worshiping the devil. And some people are. Follow the devil. You believe in yourself. See, it's not about us. It's about God. He wants to use us for Him. Not for us, but for Him. Not for somebody else, but for Him. We don't love people for them. We love them for God because they can't see God or know how God is. So they'll see Him in us. He reproves the world of sin, the Holy Spirit, because they believe not on Jesus Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit and God all work in conjunction. All in the Old Testament, you read mostly about God. All in the New Testament, Gospels about Jesus. Then starting in Acts, the Holy Spirit. God's an orderly God. He put this universe together in order. He told those birds, fly over here, fly over there. There's food here. It's coming a storm, tank up. They know more about it than we do. They know how much snowfall we're going to get. They know what's going on. And did you know there's certain species of it? The dove is one. They mate for life. Did you know that? The quail, they mate for life. They're smarter than people. They're smarter than people. They know more about it than we do. There's a little poem, I can't recite it, but I can paraphrase it. The birds were saying, listen to the people, how they worry and fret. Guess they don't have a God like we have. I guess that's true, amen? Of sin. Number 2, verse 10, it shows righteousness. The reason he's going to show righteousness, because when Jesus was here, he showed him righteousness. Now he's gone. Now the Holy Spirit shows us righteousness. You see, it's this way with God. Real quickly. When God made the first man, that was the most important thing that he made of all he made. When he made everything else, he said it was good. When he made man, he said it was very good, right? Okay? The next thing that God made was Abraham. And Israel. Israel had two duties. One, to give us the Bible, the Word of God. Number two, to give us Jesus. When we read about Jesus, he had to come through Israel. People say, I've been around Jews. I don't like Jews. God don't like them sometime either. He loves them. God don't like what to do. As a matter of fact, read what God's going to do to them in the tribulation. God's not, God says it's his favorite people, and that's why it is. My mom and dad didn't whip their neighbor's kids, they whipped me. And God does the same thing to you. Well, so-and-so lives a worse life than I do, and he has more than I do. Well, that may not be so good. Maybe it's because he belongs to the devil. God says, stop that. God says, no. God says, I'll have none of it. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. So you don't see me anymore, but you're going to see the Holy Spirit working in people. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. God knows what he's doing. You got to believe in God. You got to have faith in God, trust God, and keep walking ahead and never be distracted or get discouraged. You know, I've plowed mules and horses. I've told you about that. I don't know if you ever saw them when you put the harness on. You have blinders on them, right? That's so they don't see what's around them. Just see ahead. You know what else we had to put on when I plowed the corn with them? Put a muzzle on them because the corn got up so high they'd eat the corn. You get to eat when I say you get to eat. When I stop plowing, I'll take you in and give you some corn, but not while we're working. So sometimes we get distracted and we want to see what the world has to offer. And sometimes we want to eat. Adam and Eve got in trouble. Going to eat of the fruit. Huh? God said don't do that. But they didn't listen to God. And then we want to blame everybody else when we get in trouble. Blame everybody else. You're the one that did it. But she didn't. She said, the devil made me do it. He's the one God, and you must have made him. So you knew, and you could have stopped it, God, so you didn't stop it. So it's really your fault, God. And Adam was a little more plain than that, wasn't he? That woman that you gave me made me do it, God. So it's your fault, God. And we haven't changed much. God didn't do this for me, and God didn't do that for me. So why should I do anything for God? And I don't know if there is any other God, huh? Is that the way we talk? Oh, no, you're the good crowd. I'm sorry, I forgot. Number 3, verse 11, he brings judgment. Because the prince of this world is not judged. He said the devil, and he's already told us in the book of Revelation, that he's going to bind him and put him in a bottomless pit. And those that are unsaved will go there with him for eternity. For eternity. It's a lot more than that, a lot longer than that, but that's enough to know right now. I know I don't want to go there. I'm amazed about people. They want to know everything about nothing. I'm not going through the tribulation, honey. I'm not going there. So I don't think too much about it. I just think we're starting to live in something that looks a lot like that, so it must be around the next turn. It can't be far down the road. But I'm not going to be here. So why am I worried about whether so-and-so got the mark or didn't get the mark? Don't matter to me. I have the mark of Jesus Christ. One fellow said, did you take a Greek class? I said, no, I didn't take a Greek class. I didn't go to school in Greece. I went to school in America. And I was disadvantaged. I went in Kentucky and West Virginia. And I have three languages, West Virginia, Kentucky, and what the rest of it. I'm getting that pretty good at speaking Pennsylvania, Nina. Ewens? Yeah. Did Ewens see that? Yeah, I about got it down. And West Virginia, we're always going to get a poke or something. Get a poke and carry that over there for me. Down in Tennessee, you want me to carry you over there? Well, I don't know if you're big enough to carry me or not. Some people don't know how to have fun either. But the devil is judged. He can only do to you, if you're saved, what God allows him to do. He allowed, God said, okay, you can do everything that Job said you can't have his life. Wow. They say that hole may be the source of my aspiration. So they're going to fix it, I'm sure. But I've had the pneumonia 4 times. Of course, I had the cancer. I had the radiation, which was far worse, and the other stuff to go with it, the chemo. I had a hernia here because of softball during the same time. I had that fixed. I've been in down at Hershey, everything they could give me. But the devil can't have my soul. The devil can't have me. I belong to Jesus. And if seeing all those doctors and telling one doctor, I'll talk to you later. No, no, no. I said, come here now. I got something important to tell you. You're about ready to put a man of God to sleep and work on him. And he's helpless. I want you to know I belong to God. Wow. Really? He said, that's kind of awesome. I said, it's bigger than that, brother. It's bigger than you and me in this hospital. It's bigger than this whole world to know that you're in the arms of Jesus. That getting close to God and letting God talk to you is awesome. It gives you new inspiration. It gives you new encouragement. It gives you new assurance. It calms your fears. And he kept saying to me, fear not. Fear not, John. Fear not. He was calling me by my name. I never heard him call my name before. The Bible says he knows my name. And he called me John. Called me John. My grandmother called me John before I was ever born. She said, I want him to be a preacher. My mom would tell me that. I don't want to be any preacher. I'd go out and get a chew tobacco from my brother. I want to be a bad dude. I don't want to be a sissy preacher. Because all the preachers I saw, a bunch of sissies. Then I got to reading about Elijah. Said, stand back. We're going to call the fire of heaven down. Get out of the way. Amen. I said, well, now that's my kind of man. That's my kind of man. He wasn't taking orders from nobody but God. Wasn't listening to nobody but God. Said to his servant, he said, go out yonder and see if you see a cloud while I pray. He got on his knees and prayed. Servant come back. He said, I see a little tiny cloud. He said, go back. He went back. He come back. He said, is it still there? He says, it's as big as a man's hand now. He said, you tell the king he better get down to the palace because there's going to be a rain like he had never seen. He said, and you start running because it's going to come a storm. And the Bible says, and it's 28 miles from where they were down to the palace, that Elijah outran the chariot of the king and beat him down there. And the rain was coming when he got there and flooding. Like he said, it hadn't rained in 6 months. Remember, he told him it wouldn't rain in 6 months. And when he saw him, he said, there's a man that's troubling Israel. He's making all this trouble. We're dry, haven't had rain for 6 months, stuff burning up. I had a banker do that to me one time years ago. We was having a dry spell, and they were talking about it in the bank. I walked in. He said, well, there's a preacher. He must not be preaching right or something. I said, no, I'm not the man's problem. You're the man's problem. I said, oh, you're worried about money. You're not worried about God. Oh, I never heard it that way. I said, I know. You're hearing it now. Judgment. Prayer by power. Prayer by power is our conclusion this morning. We say a lot of prayers, but we need Holy Spirit-powered prayers. We need to be moved by the Spirit of God, not by something we heard somebody or thought somewhere. And it tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That must mean we got infirmities. You got infirmities, I got infirmities. That means we all got weaknesses. We can't think right. We can't find the right word. We can't say the right thing. We're afraid we'll, if somebody's hearing us pray, they'll think we're stupid. We got all these infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit of God will help you pray. It says up there, we didn't know how to pray. Look what he says in 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will. Would you say that with me together, church? According to his will. Let's say that again. According to his will. These half-baked nuts say, oh, just tell God. First place, you don't tell God anything. You ask of God. He's the God, not you. Second of all, that verse before we read from Romans said we don't know what we're supposed to pray for. So we got to pray according to the will. So we need to ask God, God, what is your will? What is your will? Keep loving him. Keep praying. Keep working on your infirmities. Keep working on your weaknesses. Keep asking God for strength where you're weak. Another thing I did, I said, God, I'm sorry about all the bad things. He said, what bad things? I said, I was a terrible sinner. He said, John, you asked me to save you and forgive you, and I did. I don't remember those sins no more. Wow! That makes you want to run, don't it? Don't that make you want to move? What sins? He said, you're preaching to everybody and telling them that I take the sins. Don't you believe I took yours? Wow. Wow. He said, what you got today and tomorrow? I'll take care of those too, but it's nice when you tell me. We have an awesome God, folks. We have a great God. We have a great God. We do. We have a great church. I don't know. I said it 4 or 5 times back before the pandemic hit, before the split hit. I said, we have a very good church. We've got to protect it. I'm telling you, we're starting to be a good church again, a real good church. We've got to protect it. We've got to protect it. You've got to do your part. You don't quench the Spirit. You say, well, I quit. Yeah. Little petty sins, little bits of bitterness. He says, don't let any root of bitterness spring up in you. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. A new commandment. You see, God wants us to love each other. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, huh? Just because you fell in the mud. Nah, we got to keep doing right. Hold fast to the right, son. That's what his mother said to him. Hold fast to the right. Hold fast to the right. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you for coming today. The altar's here to use as you need fit. That's what it's for. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for the many miles we've traveled, for the treacherous highways, for the sin pits and foils, for the sick rooms, to the healing rooms, to home again, to the fire, to the food, to the beautiful birds that sing, to the beautiful snow that lays white, because you said in Isaiah chapter 1 that when you washed us, though our sins be like crimson, you'd make them white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for such wonderful God and such wonderful love. Lord, help this congregation to not deviate, to not pick at the petty things, the little things. and trying to honor self, but to honor God and lift Him up. Now, as the piano plays for a moment, I want to extend you that opportunity to come to the altar to pray for yourself or anyone else you want to pray for or about anything else. It's nobody's business but yours while you're here. So if you want to come, come. We'll wait a few moments. We can do that. Do today what you wish you'd have done when you stand before Jesus. Amazing Grace. It is Amazing Grace. The altar's still open. Come. Amen. Some of you may wonder why I don't sing what I do. I try to save my voice for the preaching, but my throat wasn't as sore. I sang some this morning, a lot, and I didn't sit as much because I feel stronger too. So whatever's happening is happening, and whatever the trials and tribulations are, I'm just going to take them as they come because God talked to me. He really talked to me. In the 50 years of preaching, I never had God talk to me like He talked to me. And the one thing He said to tell you, don't get involved in trivial matters. He said, tell the church, keep your eye on the ball, what's important. Okay? Amen. Brother, would you have our closing prayer?